If you can drop from an 8 to a 7, you reduce your chance of cardiovascular disease by half, right? So these little small changes that can be made can mean you get to live longer, it's quality of life, and length of life.
This is the Grace Story Podcast. Today's guest is Dr. Kevin Roberts. Dr. Roberts serves as the provost at Grace College and Grace Theological Seminary. He oversees our academic schools, student success, academic accreditation, and the Morgan Library. He's known to many of you. He's been at Grace for over 20 years, serving as a professor and dean prior to being provost. He received his BS in criminal justice and psychology from Grace College, also his master's in counseling from Grace College, and then his psychology doctorate from the Adler School of Professional Psychology. So, Dr. Roberts, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
Let's talk first about how you got to Grace in the first place from somewhere in Western Illinois, right?
Right. Yeah, I grew up in Western Illinois. I didn't grow up in a believing home. And I started dating a pastor's daughter. And so as I dated a pastor's daughter, I was seeking.
I feel like there's a country song.
Yeah,
I
there probably
the pastor, something like that. Yeah.
Well,
anyways.
Yeah. So he actually led me to Christ and made quite an influence on my life, Dr. Keith Miller. And Dr. Miller and his wife actually, I was at Western Illinois and had already been there basically a year and a half. And so they actually were the ones who brought me to Grace. And had a big impact on my life, and still talk with them today.
You came to Grace. Were you criminal justice and psychology from the start? I mean, is that a career trajectory you already had in mind?
No, I was more criminal justice, and was thinking about law school as well. But I got here and I took Tom Edgington's class in family systems, and then another class he taught that was like biblical psychology. And those probably changed my kind of where I was, my trajectory where I was going. And so that really influenced me and would really shape the course of where I would probably end up going.
So you got your master's degree, eventually went on for your doctorate, and then came back to Grace on the faculty. And what was your passion for coming back to Grace and being a part of the faculty here at Grace?
Yeah, I would say there was several times that they asked me to come in and teach, and I just had a passion for our students. Still evident for me today as it was the
That's
first
very
day.
True. Whenever you get the chance to interact with students, you're like, I miss that part of life more and more. Yeah.
And so that part of it was really key for me. I loved being with our students and having a chance to influence the next generations of counselors, right? Because they're going to have an opportunity to work with really hurting people every single day and influence them. And as they work with folks, and oftentimes in different settings, leading them to Christ. So
talk a little bit about some of both your research interests and even ways that you continue to stay plugged into you know, your background, mm-hmm. even throughout your professorship, things that sort of just shaped what you were most interested in, what you tended to look at and become in-depth expert about.
Yeah, I would say part of it was I spent the early parts of my first 10 years of my career, about half my workload was really in addictions counseling. The rest of it I did kind of a broad perspective of counseling, and I liked a lot of variety in what I was doing. And so I kept doing that until a few years ago when I became dean. It just became too time consuming to do any counseling load on the side. But as I kind of or I sharpened my vision about what I was really passionate about in the field of psychology. It really became about integrated healthcare. There's about 5 decades of research that says if we have primary care physicians, we should have mental health professionals there with them. And the evidence is abundantly clear that this makes a significant health benefit for all patients, and it reduces the total cost of healthcare by around 30% or more, depending upon the study. So these are really where I really sharpened my vision of things I was passionate about.
I remember you teaching me about recidivism, essentially people going back into the hospital fairly soon after already being in the hospital, and the cost of that to the hospitals. But if you sort of insert some mental health training, counseling, assessment with patients, that rate goes down, like you said, pretty significantly.
Yeah, we're often a reactive healthcare system in the sense that, you know, we can choose any diagnosis, but if you look at COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, people who feel like they can't breathe, well, of course that's going to present with anxiety, right? And sometimes that's not really something that needs to go to the ER, but we're frequently going to ER for things like that. And it's helping people to be able to manage that anxiety in a different way. And so still today, most of our healthcare systems aren't really adequately handling all the things that we could do that would drive down some of these costs. And in my research, even, we found that it made a significant cost reduction. And most importantly, it changed the health of these patients. And some of these, like even dropping 1 point in A1C. Now, A1C is your is related to diabetes, and you really want a number below like a 7. If you can drop from an 8 to a 7, you reduce your chance of cardiovascular disease by half, right? So these little small changes that can be made can mean you get to live longer. It's quality of life and length of life. Mm. So
I can only imagine the big words that are spoken at your dinner table, considering you married a pharmacist and your psychology background. You know, I'd have to have a dictionary close by to probably keep up with the dinner conversation in the Roberts household.
My daughter complains about that routinely. My son is pre-med and is trying to get into medical school, and she's art education. So she complains frequently about the conversation.
And your son's like, tell me more. What's that board?
Like, yeah. Yes, he's asking more questions or putting in more detail that my wife and I forgot at this point. So
it was about 3 years ago, you stepped into this role of provost. It was a month or so prior to me starting in the role of president. And you know, I'm interested in having you share a little bit about both why you took the role and your vision for the academic and faith integration of everything we do educationally. And one of the huge benefits to me of having you in that role is, you know, my background was not as a professor and a dean. And so, you know, you understand that world so much better than I do. And it is what we do.
Right.
It is essential to what we do to apply biblical principles to everything. So, just talk a little bit about your passion for the role of provost and then what your emphases have been.
Okay. So I would say, first of all, a quality Christian education, I think, has to have two really key components. One is, I think we have to expect more from our students than another student at another more secular institution. And here's why. We not only have to be excellent at what we do, but we have to do that in a way that integrates our faith. And an education that doesn't integrate the faith into that competence in their chosen field is compartmentalized, right? It's not complete. And for us to do that, we have to be able to accomplish both things in our classrooms here at Grace. And that needs to be what drives us. It needs to be the foundation for which we teach, to see the world through a Christian worldview. And that means that we're actually pushing oftentimes our students harder towards excellence. And to be, I think, from an outside world point of view, I want our students to be even better. So that's the first part. Do you want to give me your second question?
Yeah, sure. So, well, and I think that's I want to double click a little bit on that. Just, you know, our Christian faith is not an excuse to not be excellent. In fact, it is an impetus for excellence. And it is one of our core values is excellence. Right. And we believe the Bible, you know, it calls us to excellence.
Absolutely.
And so we want to be the best nurses, best doctors, best business professionals, best psychologists who happen to also be Christ followers.
Right.
And that's actually the fuel for their excellence. And I've appreciated your, and some clear evidences of that are accreditations the last number of years, right?
Right, right. We've been pursuing that. All of our accreditations, we've got the max amount of accreditations. So, I mean, what a blessing that is. These are high mountains to climb and oftentimes with just incredible amount of detail. But we've went through every major accreditation in the last 2.5 years. And in doing so, we've been able to achieve all of them at max level. So that's a credit to our faculty. Absolutely. Who work so hard at this. And we couldn't do this without our excellent faculty. And that God has really blessed us with those.
I want to hit a little bit on the excellent faculty thing, because that's been something you have been passionate about. One, both increasing our number of faculty, especially in particular areas. So I'd be interested in having you speak about that, but then also equipping our faculty. So talk about both of those things, sort of the desire to, you know, increase the number in particular areas, and then ways you're going about equipping faculty.
Yeah. So when I took this role, one of the things I really wanted to do was pour into our faculty as far as their own development as teachers. And so we have a program that next year will be our third year, where we're really trying to pour into improving everything we do in the classroom on an ongoing basis. And we've started an Office of Teaching and Learning that helps us narrow to a point how we're going to do excellence. And so that has been a big emphasis. And inside that has been things like faith integration and cross-cultural competence. And how are we going to interact with AI in a meaningful way? And so we've really tried to pursue excellence in all ways. And as our president often tells me, you know, this right now we're about getting better at everything we do as we pursue excellence. And that's what we're trying to achieve. And that has been a big part of our recent push.
We also shared with our board recently, I think, you know, we've increased the number of full-time faculty maybe by 20% over the last number of years. Why and where?
Yeah, so we've really been narrowing in our focus as far as where future careers are really headed. Now, that all starts with having a strong liberal arts core,
yes.
Right? As an institution, we really got to have a strong liberal arts core and a biblical foundation. But from there, looking at some of the careers of the future, we have narrowed our focus a lot in the School of Science and Engineering, which we formed 2 years ago. And we've added several faculty members in that school. And so as a result, we've put a lot of emphasis in those types of programs, all the sciences, whether that's health sciences, whether that be anything, behavioral sciences, and on down the line across the board, we're trying to start to put resources in those areas. And we're seeing growth in those. So, for example, in our School of Science and Engineering this past year, surpassed the School of Behavioral Sciences, which was always number two behind business. They surpassed them as the second biggest school, which I would say probably hasn't happened in 30 years here at Grace.
It just goes to show again, where there's future career opportunities, and certainly we never want to dilute the liberal arts core, which helps ensure every student is a is a thinker and a writer and can communicate ideas and can wrestle with challenging ideas from a biblical perspective. But then layer on top of that, you know, a professional degree that helps them enter into fields where they can make a good living, where they can provide for their family, where they can make a significant impact. And I appreciate that vision that you've brought to the academic realm, and then just improving the just excellence of what we provide, which is both in hiring quality faculty and then providing them every opportunity to improve their craft. And we have excellent faculty who are just getting more excellent, you know, it seems by the year. And I'm so thankful for that. One of the ways that you've also pursued excellence is your vision for centers and building up centers across campus that just sort of put on display the excellence and makes a real world impact locally. So talk a little bit about kind of your vision for centers. Which ones do we have? What do they do? How are they similar? And what's the impact of them?
Well, I think our community has seen the impact, especially of the Lilly Center, under the leadership of Dr. Bosch. And that center has, you know, seeing over 12,000 students a year from our community talking about water quality and a variety of things and educating elementary schools up and down the line, profound impact on our community. And that was really kind of the impetus for this, really, because it shows how we can really reach out to our community and make a difference. And Grace, first, and one of our primary goals is to be really engaged in our community in a meaningful way. And to also, we want to demonstrate the excellence we do have. And so we've started two other centers, a Center for Literacy and Learning, and I don't want to steal the thunder. They'll have more research, I think, will be completed.
They've been on the podcast, so they, you know,
they have more research coming late this summer. I'm guessing we'll know a lot about their first full year doing this. But you know, they've had over 90 students in the center, and the outcomes look very, very promising. And they're getting demands and requests, and their impact on our community to help students take that next step in their education, where maybe they were a little behind.
A lot of times, like third, fourth, fifth graders.
Third graders right now.
Who read.
We're third graders. In the summer, we're providing camps. Those filled up super fast. And because this is this is foundational for kids' educational experiences to become strong readers early. And so that center is already making an impact, and other people are already asking, how can we get involved? Yeah. Right. So very positive there. And then there are Center for Movement and Well-being, which is running classes, doing assessments for our community and helping young athletes being able to perform better. There's so many opportunities in that center as well to impact our community going forward.
And what's sort of a similar vein in all of them is research-based, right? So we're ensuring that it aligns with the research that's out there, but also we're conducting research through the centers. Yes. It employs and utilizes students. So, you know, undergraduate students are getting expertise, whether it's they're working in a lab and looking at slides of, you know, water across our community, or they're engaging with young readers and teaching them. They have dyslexia certifications, and or in the Center for Movement and Wellbeing, exercise science students understanding the research behind movement and then being able to implement that in connection with our community. And again, all of those also, the similarity is they're making an impact in our local community. And our whole thought here is like, yes, at large R1 institutions, you know, they're publishing in these big journals, but we want to do research that makes an impact on our local community and engages our students in that process. We think that's, you know, a more impactful way to go about showing excellence and engaging our community and providing our students great opportunities.
Absolutely.
What are some things as you look forward in the next 3 to 5 years and you think about, you know, higher education, specifically Christian higher education, that you you would want, you know, whether it's prospective families or those who are in churches to know, and what are you thinking about as you are sort of projecting out the next 3 to 5 years?
Well, there's, boy, that's a tough one because there's so many elements to that. I think first and foremost, I'd want to say that we do start from a biblical foundation here, and that drives every subject that we teach and how we work and how we mentor and try to love our students well. I would say that we're going to continue to pursue excellence in everything that we do in each discipline. And I've really become convinced that over the years, Grace hasn't always done the greatest job about promotion of themselves as far as the excellence in which we do things. And I think there are, it's just such an excellent, our faculty do such an excellent job of mentoring and coming alongside our students and really impacting them in a way that they go out and try to live their life in their career, driven by a Christian worldview in a way that tries to honor Christ in all that they do. So I would say that's the big picture. From 30,000 feet of what we're trying to accomplish.
And in an ever-changing world, and what's AI going to do? And like having that foundation of God's word is solidifying and provides a foundation for students to do anything, no matter where the Lord takes them. I think we've hit on every core value unintentionally, but hopefully intentionally in this conversation of living God's word, of serving humbly, of excellence mattering, of mentoring being important to what we provide, and of community engagement. Mm. And so I appreciate how that is lived out with the word of the day, excellence, in academic affairs and your leadership here at Grace and passion for our students. So thank you for the way that you lead our amazing faculty and impact students.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us today for the Grace Story podcast, and thanks to the marketing office for their production. If you can like, comment, subscribe, share this to others, we would be so thankful. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to send us those. If you know how many times we said excellence in this podcast, email that to podcast@grace.edu. Until next time, live your best Grace Story today. Thank you.